Do you ever wonder if you might be at higher risk for getting very sick from a respiratory illness like flu? While most people have mild symptoms, respiratory illnesses can be more serious if you're over 65 years old or have certain underlying conditions. If you're in one of these higher risk groups and start feeling sick with a respiratory illness, get medical care as soon as possible. Talk to your doctor today about recommended vaccines. A message from CDC.
Welcome back to Listen to Your Heart. I'm Jerry.
And I'm Jerry's Heart.
Today's topic, Repatha, evolocumab. Heart, why'd you pick this one?
Well, Jerry, for people who have had a heart attack, like us, diet and exercise might not be enough to lower the risk of another one.
Okay.
To help know if we're at risk, we should be getting our LDL-C, our bad cholesterol, checked, and talking to our doctor.
I'm listening.
And if it's still too high, Repatha can be added to a statin to lower our LDL-C and our heart attack risk.
Guess it's time to ask about Repatha.
Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Serious allergic reactions can occur. Get medical help right away if you have trouble breathing or swallowing, swelling of the face, lips, tongue, throat, or arms. Common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar, and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site.
Listen to your heart.
Ask your doctor about Repatha. Learn more at Repatha.com or call 1-844-REPATHA.
Football on Off the Ball.
The solution to Manchester United in many ways is, the Scott McTominay one is a great example of it, where, you know, you need a bit of a British-Irish solution to go on away to Brentford.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Today, I'm in the beautiful seaside town of Greystones. I'm going to meet one of Ireland's most celebrated athletes, Olympic silver medalist Kenneth Egan. After a dip in the sea and a warm sauna, we'll reflect on his remarkable journey from the triumph of Beijing 08 to the resilience and strength it took to overcome addiction.
Right then, Kenneth, we're about to hop into the freezing cold water here.
Thanks to you. Oh, fair play to you.
This is my happy place, you know, as an expert swimmer myself.
Yeah,
you know.
Okay.
This is not something too alien to you. You understand how brilliant the cold water like that can be for the head.
Well, look, it's about the elements, isn't it? You know, there's nothing better than getting into one of these cold ice bath or the sea to clear the head and make you feel like you're alive again.
Yeah.
That's what cold water does, you know. It triggers you.
Do you get much of this?
Well, I haven't been doing as much of late, to be honest with you, but we used to do it when we were training. We used to do the ice baths for recovery, especially after hard training sessions, hard running sessions. So it's a great way of recovering, relaxing the muscles. So this is going to bring me back a couple of years.
Top of the coldness of it all, it's just the sea air and like this sort of sense zones. What that's actually doing for the body and what that is actually doing for the mind as well, just being out there.
But the fresh air itself and being out in the open is it's a real benefit to the body and the mind, you know. And I think we need to do more of it. Getting out there for walks, running, anything at all, any activity at all, once it's outdoors. Well, I can smell that fresh air now. See that difference that make now? It's beautiful. And the stunning views. Look at that. This is what it's all about now. Connecting with nature.
Looking after your own head. What's Kenneth Egan doing day to day?
Now that I have a clear head and I have a peace of mind, it's a great phrase, and I have very much so peace of mind. I have a great structure in my life. Structure is important and a purpose, but the structure would be that I run 2 or 3 times a week. There's a great mix between physical health and mental health.
Yes.
When you bring the two of them together, the benefits that people get out of doing a hard training session. You know, it's hard at the time. People probably don't want to do it at the time, but when they get finished and they're having their shower, they've always said that was definitely worth it.
Right, let's hop in. Super, let's do it.
Yeah, it wasn't bad at all. Quite enjoyable. Once you're in it for a while, it gets warm, doesn't it?
Yeah, I say that as I'm struggling to get my words out. It's so cold. A bit warmer than I expected. It's not too bad today.
No, it's not bad at all. In fairness, with the sunshine as well.
Yeah, I think we need to get ourselves into a sauna.
That'd be nice, actually, yeah. Beautiful.
Right, we have braved the freezing cold of the Irish Sea, and we're pretty keen to warm up at this point. So we head back up to the town and into the sauna, which I would say is the perfect spot to dive a little deeper into Kenneth's story.
Kenneth Egan, You've been in Greece. You should have sent me the memo here.
I'm showing my white bits.
I got the colour up before we hopped into the sea.
Yeah, it was nice to get the break.
How are you keeping?
I'm great. Yeah, I can't complain. I'm living a good life, an honest life. Things are going well. You know, I'm trying to keep as less stress as possible in the world we're living in today.
What does as little stress as possible involve? What are you doing to ensure that outcome?
I'm keeping active. You know, I exercise regular. I surround myself with the right people. I do the right thing on a daily basis. I have a sense of purpose. I'm doing good work with people. Helping people as well is a big thing in my life. In the psychotherapy I work to, and I work in the gym as well, helping people. So giving back to that in that sense really gives me a sense of achievement.
You are obviously an inspiration to so many people, not only in the sporting sense, but also in the life sense. People who've gone through battles with alcohol and with addiction, and that phrase, he's come out the other side, I'm sure gets mentioned back to you all the time. And I think that totally disregards any struggles that you might have currently in life. So can you talk us through how you do get by when things do get a little bit tough?
Ken Egan had two lives. Yeah, one was the Spartan life. Everyone obviously remembers the Olympic silver medal in Beijing and the Olympics. And it was an amazing time, don't get me wrong. But then the second part of it was when I stepped away and I struggled with the whole fame and the intrusion, if you like. I couldn't handle it, and the drinking took over. But I was drinking before the Olympics, not to the extent I was after, but, you know, people would recognise me for being the Olympic silver medalist, but also someone that has changed his life and got sobriety and in recovery 15 years. So there's two stories to Kenny Egan, and a lot of people like to hear the second story, the recovery, because a lot more people can relate to mental health and recovery more than they can an Olympic silver medal.
Do you ever wonder if you might be at higher risk for getting very sick from a respiratory illness like flu? While most people have mild symptoms, respiratory illnesses can be more serious if you're over 65 years old or have certain underlying conditions. If you're in one of these higher risk groups and start feeling sick with a respiratory illness, get medical care as soon as possible. Talk to your doctor today about recommended vaccines. A message from CDC.
The NFL is back, and FanDuel's got everything you need to play your game, from same-game parlays to live betting. Right now, new customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets if you win. 21 plus and present in select states. 18 plus in Kentucky and Wyoming. Must be first online real money wager. $5 deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Do you have to work hard every day to ensure that temptation around alcohol doesn't bring you down that path again, or is that not really a factor for you?
For me to drink again would be a disaster, and I'm well aware of that. So I have great awareness now around my issue with alcohol, and when I have good awareness, it allows me to make good choices. So every day I get up, I don't think about alcohol straight away. Far from it. I'm living a good life now. I have a purposeful life. I'm engaged with good people. I don't sit in a pub watching a football match. I don't have anything to do with pubs anymore. I've changed my direction and my attitude towards alcohol. I'm not against alcohol. It just didn't suit me. Alcohol is not in my life anymore now. And it doesn't need to be. I have a lot of more things going on now that I don't even have time to even think about drinking.
It's such a prevalent thing, and it's a prevalent thing for everybody in the world. You've obviously gone through a process of understanding what the triggers are for you. Day to day, do you see people struggling with those same triggers?
Yeah, there's an awful lot of different triggers which would set people off. Unresolved trauma from their childhood, or, you know, people, places and things they say in AA, you know, you have to manage. And for me, you know, I'm well settled and well grounded in my recovery, that if something upsets me or something triggers me, I know I have an AA meeting to go to. You know, they're everywhere. They're on 3 tons a day. That's my safe space to go to, you know. At the start, I was going to them very, very regular, but now I don't need it because I'm mixing my AA with me exercise and my well-being. So I love running now. I'm getting ready for a half marathon now. And it's really great that I have a group of lads that I can connect with and go running with and just shoot the breeze. We shy talk. We slag each other. We have the crack. We have the banter. And that's very important for men. Men need that. I have a loving wife and a great family. two great daughters. But for me to go out and go running with the lads and just chill out and just have the crack is very, very important to me. And I keep that going. That's good for my well-being.
Kenneth, that bunch of friends that you talk about there, the connection is, I think, a really interesting thing to sort of dive into. Like, for example, that group of friends that you have, I don't suspect are big drinkers, and you've had to cultivate a group that don't engage in the sort of alcoholic behaviour that maybe would send you into a spiral.
Well, it would make sense for me to continue to surround myself with the people that I used to drink with,
yeah,
and not drink with them. That it would make sense for me to try and live in that environment. It'd be impossible. So I had to disconnect from that environment, though, that culture, really, like, of the alcohol intake that was being done at the time. I stepped away from that and had to reinvent myself, if you like. And getting involved in exercise and getting involved in running, which I love, and people like that, we could bounce off each other. We're going to have to practice. Alcohol is not mentioned. There's no alcohol in the vicinity. So it's just we're going out and having a crack. And they're not big drinkers. And that's why I think we work together as a group, you know.
Because I think for most people, alcohol represents connection. So the bond that you have with your friends there is a bond that a lot of men in particular actually can't seem to find, because that bond equals alcohol.
But I've had those weekends away where it's just drinking is your number one priority. It's a false connection. And it's just, you're throwing a plaster over a wound that's not going to heal, you know. And people are going over to escape. That's a form of escapism, you know, just disconnected from the world because you're not fully happy. You just want to just escape into a weekend of madness. And when they come home, then they're licking their wounds, forgetting what they've done, probably who they've harmed, who they've insulted, all the negative stuff that comes with a drinking session. That makes the anxiety sky high then in the system then for the week after. You can't operate when you go back to work. You're worried about you might upset someone. You're not really living your life. And then to do that again the following week and then repeat that continuously, that is total madness.
Did you feel that inner turmoil during those two chaotic enough years between 08 and 2010? Because like you've spoken about the carnage maybe in your own life, and your mother played a big part in getting you on the right road.
The instant fame, I kind of brought me up a couple of pedestals, and I thought, you know, I was living the great life. And I got dragged into that whole media circus, if you like, and just the drinking came thick and heavy. I didn't think about the consequences. I was just, because I won a silver medal, I was allowed to do these things. I was allowed to treat myself to go drinking, you know, that kind of reward. And that reward went on too long. And the training sessions got shorter, the training camps got shorter, letting people down and just causing havoc and not facing responsibility. That was one thing alcohol gave me, was that blanket not to deal with reality. We could push things down the road. I'll deal with that later. Not manning up and not, you know, wearing the mask and pretend it was something else. And I had to let go of all that when I got sober and say, what does Kenny Egan want? What's right for Kenny? Because I was a yes man back then, saying yes to everything and causing havoc and letting people down so many times. And there's just a vicious cycle. But alcohol just numbed that. And they should have been the most joyous 2 years of my life.
Yeah.
Coming back to an Olympic medal and being a superhero in the country. And I worked very, very hard to get that medal. You know, I put some serious training in over the last 20 years of my life. I let myself down in those 2 years, and my family, and a lot of people that were expecting much more from me. And I made amends where I could.
How do you deal with the concept of somebody not accepting your apology?
The space I'm in now, I'm not out to harm anybody or I do that to anybody. There's two things I do every day. Oh, and that's when I get out of bed in the morning, I put my 2 feet on the ground, I tell myself I'm a good person. Because I am genuinely a good person. I don't go out to harm anybody, be unfaithful to my wife, disrespect anyone, cause any havoc. And when I go to bed at night, I say thank you. I do believe in some kind of higher power restored my life.
Did you start going down religious avenues to try and get yourself back on track?
No, I'm not religious. I don't claim to be religious, you know, but I do believe there's something greater than myself stopped me from drinking on the 12th of August, 2010 was my last drink.
Right.
And on the 13th, I just stopped.
You're 15 years out.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
I just had enough of the carnage and the madness and letting people down and people worrying about me and just that vicious circle. And there was never ended, same crap every time. So just to stop, I just say, you know what, I need to do this for myself. I need to stop thinking for me. That was the most important thing.
All the positive words you're giving to yourself is really interesting. As a fighter, were you the same way, or were you always telling yourself, actually, I'm not good enough, I need to push harder in the gym? Because that could actually be something that is good for a fighter, but maybe damages you mentally in the long term.
When I trained in the high performance, I had a fairly positive outlook on things because I was always pushing myself very, very hard on the floor. And I worked quite really, really hard in training camps. The lads will tell you that. Like, I was really, really hard trainer. I was always positive outlook. And really, the crux was in the Olympic year 2008, I just took one fight at a time, one round at a time, and changed my whole outlook on performing. not worrying about referees, not worrying about judges, not worrying about scorecards. What can I do to win the fight? What can I do to beat this guy in front of me? Round by round, minute by minute. And I just felt I was in a flow state in Beijing. The biggest competition in my life, I just managed to get it right because I was just focusing on that exact moment in every fight.
It's interesting what you described there. It sounds not too dissimilar to maybe how you approach life today when you're talking about one fight at a time, one head movement at a time. It's almost like one day at a time, one minute at a time as you navigate life.
Yeah, like people ask me, how did you get 15 years sober? And it is in the 24 hours. I remember I was in early recovery and this big American was in the room and I got talking to him at the end of the meeting and he said to me in his big thick American accent, what's the record for someone staying sober? And I said, I don't know, 80 years. No, he said, 24 hours. And I didn't really realize what he said then because I was in early recovery. But years later, thinking about it, that's all we have for 24 hours. I'm not going to drink today. No, I'm busy. I'm going back to the gym after I finish with you. I'll go home to bed. That'll be it. That's my day out of the way. I'm not going to drink today. Tomorrow I'll get back up again. Now, it's not, like I said, I don't get out of bed every morning and go, right, what am I going to do today to not drink?
Yeah.
I'm over that. I'm 15 years around. I'm in a good place. So that's all we have is 24 hours. Just 24 hours in the day. What are we going to do on that day to better ourselves?
I must say, like, obviously, those 2 years between Beijing and August 2010, it does seem horrendous and really, really difficult for you. But it does all also seem quite contained. Like, you seem a very happy man now, unless I've completely misread you today. And it feels like you've got real contentment in your life and you still have a desire to do more in terms of people that you work with and you've got that competitive edge still. Do you feel fortunate in some ways that it didn't get out of hand even more so in those 2 years?
The best decision I ever made on was to give up alcohol. On the day I gave it up, 2 years after the games. I can't imagine my life now if I continued to drink. Like, what would my life be like now, 50 years later? Where would I be? Who would I be around? Would I be still living at home with my mum? Would I be dead? Would I be in town on the Houghton Bridge looking for a bit of change? So you get a bottle of wine or a bottle of whiskey or something. That's a reality of if I had kept drinking. And people are saying, you're a bit far-fetched there. But I know to the excess of my drinking where that would have led me. I would have broke all connections with relationships with people I would have had. People wouldn't want to know me, wouldn't want to be around me because it'd be a total disaster. Cutting people off that were important in my life and be left on my own, in my own madness, in my own craziness. That's a horrible place to be. Now, that's a hard place for anyone. Never mind the Olympic silver medals. That doesn't matter. Any human being that ends up in that place, it's there for everyone that doesn't address their issues, you know? And I did. I put my hands up and said, I can't do this on my own. And I got help. And I got into recovery in India. But that just shows you, like, the drive and the will to change was massive for me because I couldn't sustain that living. It was horrible. I didn't like what I was doing. And it went against me, Graham. And I decided to make change. And change is possible if you want it.
Are you close to the happiest point of your life right now, Kenneth?
Well, I have people that depend on me, which I really treasure. I like that, you know, that I work with people. I know they get the benefit from the training I give them. I know I get benefit from the people I work in the psychotherapy field. And to get the odd text off them to tell me they're doing well or they're sober 6 months or a year, it's great. I have a 9-year-old daughter who has never seen me in a pub or never seen me drunk or drink it. So her upbringing is going to be very, very different to mine. What my parents drink, not to excess, but I'd see them drink it. Whereas she has never seen me drink or my wife. So it's a different attitude towards alcohol, different surroundings. She's not spending a Sunday in a pub. She's ill, she's being active. So that's a great start for her now. I'm not living the same life we lived, you know. And that's special that she is getting brought up by a Kenny Egan who has great structure in his life, has peace of mind.
To tie this all together, this is a conversation when we were down on the beach. It starts about, you know, what you do with the body can positively impact what you feel in the mind. In terms of your journey, it's a strange one because you reached elite peak sporting performance in 2008, and it feels like you've used sport as a way to progress in life now as well. I think that's a really important example for people, that activity, movement, is something that can actually take you out of a dark place.
Movement is powerful. And I think, you know, everybody that stands at a start line or steps into a ring or stands in front of a boxing bag, they dread the start of a session. They dread the start of a run. But you know, when you finish the session, you finish the bag work, you finish that couple of sprints, you're having your shower, you're delighted you've actually went through with it. So it's that reward system, pushing yourself that little bit, getting out of your comfort zone, sitting on your arse and talking about doing stuff is no good. It's about action, that big letter A. It's so you could imprint that on someone's forehead. It's so important. action is important. Getting up off your arse and dealing though with that 5k run or the 5k walk, or getting the dogs out twice a day, three times a day. It's just getting the body moving, getting the system awake.
Yeah.
Getting out, getting into the wind. If it was raining, even get out in the rain. Feel the rain on your face. Doing the things that you don't normally do. Get up off your ass and test yourself. Push yourself. That's what it's about. Getting out of your comfort zone. We spend too long in our comfort zone. And nobody achieves that in standing still.
I think that's a good point to finish on. What are you doing at the moment to keep pushing yourself out of your comfort zone?
A bit of boxing coaching with a couple of lads. And, you know, that keeps me sharp. A lot of pad work, bit of sparring. But, you know, it's a nice level of boxing. I'm not going to be a high performance athlete. I'm not getting into the senior team anymore. But I love people, giving people the experience that I have, teaching how to punch correctly, head movement, all the good stuff that comes with boxing and the fitness aspect of it. But I love going out running now as well. I go out two or three times a week with a half marathon book now soon, and that keeps me going. Getting out with the lads, bit of man talk, bit of slagging, bit of banter. I love that. That's what I enjoy.
It's great to hear that, Kenneth, and I'm sure that so many people listening to this would have got so much out of it as well. Thankfully, it didn't rain in our face going out to the water today. We had a very forgiving day. Okay. We actually stayed in our comfort zone, I think, today. But next time we might jump off the pier. Kenneth Egan, thank you very much.
Thank you all.
Cheers. Appreciate it.
Stop men dying too young. Raise funds. Save lives. Sign up now at Movember.com.